15 to 20 million.
Jump out.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And of course, we broadcast all over the world by going on your internet link to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. You can hear rebroadcasts anytime by going to that same site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, today we have a number of people that we're going to be speaking with, and we have a lot of information we're going to be asking Mark Andel to share with us. But I have in the studio with me today the ever popular Larkin Conley, who is the president of SCORE Philadelphia, and he has a guest with him. It's David Younghams, and we're very happy to welcome you, David, to observe, and we'll get you on as time goes on in the future. We're also on the broadcast today with Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integrations, and the ever popular and very famous now Mark Andel, who is the founder of Made in America Store. And Mark, I put a link up on the front page of our site, which was for the Fox and Friends interview. And then Rich sent me another link a day or so ago with the Yahoo interview. So I'm going to ask Henry if he could incorporate those so that people know all of what we're doing to try to help, and what especially you have been doing, and the people from the Made in America movie have been doing. Mark, I want to compliment you, first of all, as a member of our Made in America movement and American Workers Radio panel. Thank you for the great publicity that you really generated for your store and for your business, and also for the movie. You know, this type of effort doesn't just happen in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. It takes several years of time and effort and a sincere heart to make something like this come about. So I'm really, really proud to say that you were honored by all that you've done. But I'm going to start off today with Mark and ask him to give us a little bit of an update as to what happened in the last 10 days.
Well, thanks, Mike, and thanks for the kind comments. And I know how hard you worked on it and our whole panel for years. And what we're doing is increasing that demand for American-made products and fueling that movement. Now, Mike, you're right. I apologize I didn't call you back that Monday. But last week, you know, on that 32-city, 32-day tour the movie crew was on, we went down to New York City last week, started at Fox and Friends in the morning, as you've seen, and then we went to Yahoo, and I'm glad Rich found that interview. That came out real nice. And then we went to AOL, which is Huffington Post, and then we shot over to Glenn Beck's The Blaze, and then I ended up in Rockefeller Center with NBC that night as Nathan, one of the film guys, went and did the screening. Me and Vincent stayed at NBC, which was just an awesome day. I ended up flying out that night, getting home at 2 o'clock in the morning in Buffalo, and then shot back to Washington at 6 in the morning, Washington, D.C., where we were asked to receive an award for the Alliance of American Manufacturing, Scott Paul. And that was just an unbelievable experience also, that in Washington. You know, one thing, when I walked in a new headquarters for the Alliance of American Manufacturing, you know, Scott had mentioned that we did something because of you, and I said, what's that? We built our new headquarters 100% made in America, but he said we failed. It's 98%, and I'm talking the ceiling tiles, the floor, the Viking microwave. I couldn't believe, guys, you would be impressed on how they really went out of their way to make this 100%, the two floors of the AAM. And then I received award that night. I got to meet Chris Collins in the you know, at the Capitol, who is our congressman for the Buffalo area, and then a senator, Senator King, came from Maine. And boy, he said, we're in trouble if the new trade laws go through. It's going to wipe out a lot of the American manufacturers that are left, especially New Balance. Then they, you know, gave me this award. The award was for doing our part, like you do, Mike and Rich and Larkin and myself. And it was an honor. Then we watched the movie, and after that, boy, everybody surrounded me because, you know, again, I've got to get this movie. And they're very serious about showing it in Philadelphia. So last Monday, Tuesday for the movement, it was awesome for the, you know, American-made movement. And it's a subtle approach, this movie. It explains to the people, you know, do your part, how the consumer has so much control over the economy and their local and national economy with getting involved and looking at what they buy and educating them on, you know, how it affects people. So, you know, Mike and crew, it's been an awesome week, and we've just been going. They did finish their crew, or they did finish their tour in Atlanta, Georgia, Monday. And so their 32-city tour is done. Now they're getting that movie, should be national by August 29th is their target date. They work just as hard as we do. That crew has a lot of work to do.
Did they give you, Mark, any kind of a schedule of the theaters that it's going to be going into?
I did get a chance in that New York City. We did that all on foot that day. We never took a cab. I never spent a dollar in New York because we were on the move catching these interviews as fast as they come up. But I did sit with their distribution team, and boy, is there a lot of work in producing a movie. You know, and he mentioned there's 100 documentaries he gets across his desk, but this one is not only factual, but it has inspiration. It's inspirational. And Larkin, you're going to love this movie because it helps entrepreneurs, and it suggests, you know, with that can-do spirit. They are picking. I know it's going to be in, you know, Georgia. I know it's going to be in Pittsburgh. I know it's going to be in Chicago. They're picking the cities, and I will keep you, you know, informed on where it shows. And then it's kind of a cycle. They do, you know, 1 week they'll do this. They'll pick cities, and then the next week another group of cities, and they keep growing the theater distribution.
Okay. Well, Mark, I've got to tell you, I had an opportunity to see your interview at Fox.
Oh, okay.
And I started to jump up and down. My wife thought I was being a little kid. But I said, look at how good Mark's doing. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this. And I'll tell you what, you were born for this business. I think once we get this Made in America thing conquered, we're going to have to find a new initiative for you to head up. You
did. That's right. You got to go with welding the Made in America store, and you also have to go into acting. Your presentation is so sincere.
Boy, are you a ham.
And I want to tell you, Mark, we didn't get the Yahoo link up yet because Rich sent that to me. But in the Yahoo link, it has a great amount of information. It's a little bit longer presentation, and it has a very sincere overview, and I can just tell by looking at that this movie is going to be absolutely the best.
And then I've got to get you the other one at AOL. It was funny, we went from all sides, but Nathan and Vincent are excellent people. They have passion. They actually let a guy go 7 months ago because he didn't have the passion for the movie. Then they brought him back. These guys, this crew, 11 people on that bus, and what they go through and what they went through. And the cities, they did 20 states in that 32-city tour and gained a ton of media. Remember, USA Today launched this movie drive. And just awesome people that really love America. You know, I can't say enough. And we pushed the movie. You know, I had my shirt on at first. We changed. I said, let's push the movie. When they see the movie, they'll see my story. And that's what's neat. We worked as a team together. So a lot of them interviews were about getting people to, you know, if we can get them to see this movie. The movie is a very, very quality film.
Well, you know, Mark, I have to say one more thing before I turn it over to Rich. The sincereness about you comes right through every time you're interviewed, that you're just not doing this as some talker. You really believe in the whole movement, and that's very important.
Yeah, and I did do it. I do, you know, have that passion, and I believe, you know, that we can change this country.
And we will. And we certainly will. Now, you mentioned earlier that they were building that studio with 100% American made. So what you're saying is it can be done.
Yes.
If the people shop around, look around, and speak up, we are heading in a very good direction.
And they didn't just build it in 100%. It's 98%. He was joking. The chairs, everything. And they left portions open to show off skilled trades. Larkin, you'd love it. Like the block was left open, the wiring to stand for electricians, and the beams were unpaid. It's beautiful. You know, it's just a statement. I can't believe we inspired them. They said, you inspired us first, Mark. And then the, you know, World News, awesome job, just kept us going. We said, you know, let's build this Alliance of American Manufacturing. And what I liked about the AAM, they're not paid by the taxpayers. They're paid by the 7 steel mills still left in this country. A percentage of every ton of steel sold is what supports that organization to fight for them in Washington.
Very good. And we're going to talk about the steel and some of the bridges, and the bridge in particular in New York, because I did hear from Greg Latskoski this morning. We'll have to get him on in the future. But Rich, How is everything with you? You are on the phone with the very well-known Larkin Connolly and also Mark Andel, who has been a new star. And I'll tell you, I'm really proud to know him and see all that he has done for the community and for the Made in America movement. Rich.
Well, guys, good morning to our esteemed panel, to our listeners. Mark, definitely I saw your interviews as soon as I saw Yahoo. One of the things I actually want to point out in that Yahoo article that ties into a lot of what we talk about here regularly is the first paragraph talks about how we've actually added jobs over the last several years. And what while good news to add jobs, the two crucial elements to that are, right, the types of jobs, the types of and what I mean by types are the paying types of jobs, and also how are we doing with job creation on the global scale? Because as we talk about, all of us here frequently, with the estimated number of jobs that need to be created internationally to accommodate our population growth, as this sentiment continues to grow, I think the consciousness of where things are made, and in particular what we call in my business of barcoding, what we call consumables, which really are things that are, as the name connotes, items that are bought and used and sort of disposed of or used and frequently replaced. So manufacturing is a key part of our overall consumer economy, because with us at a 70% stat right now of our economy being consumer spending, it's good news that there's some more jobs, but how are we doing on the global scale? That's the thing that we're going to be watching to see what happens. So Mark, you know, great, congratulations. Maybe there's a future in politics. You could join my new party. I've got a new political party called the Why Work Party. So come on, and you know, I got like 300 million registered members already.
You know, and Rich, I may have to share that with people, what you sent me. It's true. Well, you know, I have to say something about the jobs numbers, but before I do that, everyone that I speak to in my travels tells me the marketplace really determines what is sold in America. So every shopper should know that the marketplace determines, because what they pick up at the cash register with all the new technology, immediately it's reported to the management or to the central terminal that that product has to be replaced in the next 2 or 3 days. It tells them how many were bought, how many were need to be replaced. And the point of all this is, if items are purchased, they're replaced. If they're not purchased, then the store focuses on items that they're selling and avoids products that remain on the shelves, regardless whether they're made in America or not. So the point is, Mark, you know that, and Rich and Larkin, if there's something on the shelf and it's being moved, it's going to be replaced, which if you replace it with American made, then you're helping our workers. And if you're replacing, where they're going to replace it with a foreign made, we're just allowing our jobs to continue to grow. Yesterday, I heard a report that of the 144 million people that are now working in the USA, part of the Labor and Industry Report, 116 million people are full-time and 28 million people are part-time. Now, is that a way to run a country and an economy? We've never had this many part-time people in this system before. And it's because all of the rules, the regulations, the taxes, the health care, all this is killing our job market. And in the future, in the next 3 months, I understand, as the health care providers like Blue Cross and Blue Shield and all the others are going to be raising their rates, more and more of the companies have decided to go to part-time workers, which is only going to kill our economy more. So where that 28 million is right now, it could go up, up, and up, whereas the 116 million full-time people is going to go down.
Michael, to you, to that point that you're mentioning, and again, remains to be seen. We're going to see what's going to happen. I don't know yet. We all don't know yet exactly what companies are going to do in terms of decreasing hours to make employees, give them an hour fewer to see to it that they don't get health care. What I anticipate happening is that we will see some companies do that. I've already seen some published reports about some newspapers around the country that have begun doing that. I don't know if it's going to be a widespread epidemic, but it's certainly going to happen, and it raises another point that is something related to what we've all been paying attention to, I'm sure, recently with many of the fast food restaurant workers. And the reality of it is that when a worker who is, in particular, part-time, is not really earning close to enough what they need to earn, they typically will seek out things that we call entitlements, right? Food stamps, welfare. Well, when workers are not really getting paid enough money, it's not about whether they have enough money to drive Maseratis, whether they simply have enough money for their health care and their child care and those things. When they don't make enough, what do? They go to subsidies. Who pays for those things?
Mm-hmm. Electric, gas, water, right, so everything has gone up so much, Rich, in the last few years. It's killing any working person.
That's right. So we have to subsidize part of the living standard because companies, despite their record amount of cash on hand, are not paying, or not to suggest they're not paying in any case, but for many of those millions of workers, we have to subsidize part of their living standard because they simply don't earn enough despite the fact that they are working close to or fully full-time hours. So companies don't pay, so now we're subsidizing that part of corporations. And this is what comes back to our point about taxation, which is Americans, I believe, are not going to be in favor of bringing businesses back, exempting them or waiving taxes so executives can line their own pockets and continue to not pay employees, continue to not create jobs. There needs to be something that is more innovative, perhaps, than what we've thought about recently, which is how to get companies back here. Because if they're back here, because when they're overseas, not only are they paying low tax, their U.S. corporate income tax is deferred. There are some companies that have not paid U.S. corporate income tax in decades. So this is not, I'm not going on an anti-corporation rant. What I am saying is that while no perfect solution, I still think a better solution is to allow companies to come back here with low to minimum tax, if no tax at all, but they need to create jobs. Not to have them come back here so they can line the exec's pocket.
Right, right.
Corporations are what employ people. 80% of people employed are small businesses. So we can't really have a system that, as it is to this point, clearly favors one size business over another. To suggest that small businesses get the same favorable treatment as a big corporation, I mean, if anyone who believes that, it needs to believe that I'm a fairy who comes from the sky and puts a dollar under your pillow when you lose a tooth. Or as Henry Chaplinsky would say, who does our audio, his kids now want $5 because of inflation.
You know, Rich, to that end, I heard the president, I have to take my score hat off for a second. I heard the president speak the other night, rather rebel-rousing speech. And at the tail end of this diatribe, about 10 seconds before it was over, one of the last things he yelled was, "We have to raise the minimum wage. I'm going to see that the minimum wage gets raised." Now, I'm a firm believer in a living wage, and I do not think the current minimum wage is a living wage. But you can't come through and correct problems like that when you're trying to rebound the economy from where we are right now. Yes, we have to create a living wage. I don't think there's any question of that, but it has to be done in stages. When they used to raise the minimum wage back in the 70s and 80s, they did it on a sliding scale. And, you know, every, you know, 2 years, the minimum wage went up 40 cents or however that works out. So it's crazy to think that we can fix the engine of a car when the tires are flat. We can't get it from point A to point B. So minimum wage, great. Living wage, absolutely believe in a living wage. But do we do it right now? No, it's the timing is just awful.
I want to get people back to work. That's the main situation.
It's a job. That's right. We can debate about what wages. If there are no jobs to talk about with wages, then there's no. We're going right one step forward, two steps back. And this is an interesting case of discussion for states and cities and what say they have in it, because we have seen cities. We've seen individual cities throughout the U.S. who went ahead and took the initiative of raising their own particular minimum wages. But Lark and I agree, if the jobs are not there, they're not being created quick enough, then the income part of that, right, that's sort of the second aspect of all of this. So as far as the job creation, all of these enterprising countries around the world, right, this is part of the reason that we lost manufacturing. It wasn't just taxes, it was part labor.
One of the problems when I was in Washington, D.C., I noticed when I went to the outside the Capitol to see one of our representatives and seeing how it was all set up, the 435 House of Representatives and the 100 senators kept separate. And then Washington, D.C., a lot of people don't realize, don't have a senator or Congress. They have an elected mayor. But it's busy in Washington. It looks like it's doing good. It looks like if you were just to stay in Washington, you'd think things are well. What I've seen, you'd have to move a lot of our Congress out to these tough areas like Detroit and let them live there and see and feel how it is. I think a taxi driver put it the best to me. He said, the users in society used to be called, in the 70s, 80s, bums. You know, in the 90s, they called them homeless, and now we call them middle class.
What do we call the national elected officials?
But, Washington just looks upper like class. It's doing wonderful, but they've got to move out to the areas that aren't so wonderful.
I had an event yesterday based on, we call them returning citizens now, ex-offenders. And it's a huge problem. It represents 20% of the Philadelphia population has been incarcerated at one point or another. It's enormous. It's a huge number, and it's something that needs to be addressed. And there is an initiative over on South Street here in Philadelphia called Opportunity Inc., and they're trying to train them to develop skill sets in a blue-collar world so they can get back to work. And I had two city councilmen promised me that they would be there for this lunch, 1 hour and a half of meeting these kids. And the whole point of having them there was so that they could be knowledgeable of this program. One going to ask them to pass a bill, one going to ask them for money, just wanted them to be aware of what was happening on the street. And I think these guys are definitely afraid of seeing what's happening. Like somebody's going to yell at it. I'm not exactly sure, but neither one of these city councilmen showed up as promised. Neither one of them. And it brought a tear to my eye. There were 48 men and women between the ages of 19, 20, and probably 50 who are going to classes at Opportunity Inc. trying to learn a trade, to learn a skill, so as returning citizens or ex-offenders, we can get them back to work.
And Larkin, as I hear that, I see that it's really happening all over. We shouldn't have, I'll bet you if we had enough jobs in the country, we would have very little people incarcerated. When we had jobs, in fact, our incarceration rate based upon population was very low. Now, in Philadelphia alone, and I'm not picking on Philadelphia because it's all over the country, you have 11,000 people incarcerated. Back in 1985, it was 1,000 people. That's a big difference. Just take a look at where our job situation is at this point. I remember when they go to the prisons on the first day of the year, on New Year's, I remember Mayor Wilson Good was there, and he said, when I was the mayor of Philadelphia, we had 1,000 people incarcerated. And he was just there a few years ago, and they mentioned that there were 11,000 people. Part of that is because we lost our jobs, our job skills, our people don't care. You know, as long as they're getting by, whether it's on a part-time job or a full-time job or some government benefit, they've just learned not to care. They care about what is on television, and they care about what they hear in some kind of CDs that are being sold with rap music and all, but they don't care about the job situation, which is what we need in this country to bring back our economy, respect for people, get job skills back. There's just, many people have told me something very interesting, and someone sent this to me in an email, that many Americans have made a commitment not to buy from companies that ship their manufacturing jobs overseas to avoid higher wages for American workers or some of our taxes and all the regulations that we put upon them. And what did that? It was definitely corporate greed. But more importantly is the national elected officials did absolutely nothing to pull the plug on jobs leaving the USA over the last 35 years. And so we have what we have. Mark, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. And I want to know why we had that screening in Washington, D.C. Last Tuesday, and then the congressman, a couple, said we can't come tonight because we've got a vote tonight. The 435 have to vote because we're closing for 5 weeks. How could you close? Rich, it'd be like me and you just saying, hey, we got a lot of problems. Let's close 5 weeks, take off, and we'll come back and start over. How could you close 5 weeks, Washington, right now when there's so much on the line?
That's right. There's no interest. In fact, Mark, I'm glad you mentioned that because as I have been telling people for the last month, you have a brand new contact link on the front page of American Workers Need You. You just click on that and you put in your zip code and it tells you who your governor is, who your state senator, who your national senator is. And do you know, as the people have been calling, some of the staff that answers the phone is heavily annoyed to be hearing from you. They say, well, they're not in session. You can send an email. We would prefer something in writing. Thank you for your thoughts. When you send the thing in email, you get a reply back that says, well, thank you for contacting the congressman or the senator, and he'll be sure to take your thoughts into consideration at the proper time. But there's no way to get through to these people. So it may be time to show some of them the door and escort them out of the situation. Maybe they could go live in some of the neighborhoods that they forgot about and become real Americans.
Hey, Rich, I have a challenge for you. I'd like to see you develop an acid test real quickly, maybe 15 questions. And if an American citizen running for office at any level can't pass this acid test, then they're not eligible. And that is a test that determines whether they're a statesman or whether they're a politician.
Well, guys, you know what? I'll be up, Larkin, Michael, guys, I'm going to be up next week. And, Mark, by the way, I wanted to tell you, what a coincidence. The first 550 memberships of the Why Work Party all came from Congress. I can't believe it. I mean, the odds of it.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing.
Yes, boy, that was 535 positive responses. Why work when we can be in Congress and get it spoon-fed in every which way? I love it.
Yeah, who needs work? Go into politics. But remember, guys, we elect them.
Yeah,
we let them get away with the perks and benefits. We let them get away with it all.
And I'm telling
that's
you,
that's
I was
on the electorate.
I was a judge of election in the last round, and we had a booming 15% come out and vote.
Was it really disgraceful? 15%. It was really disgraceful. And this is another reason that the politicians don't take the cries of the people serious, because they know by the time election day comes around, everybody forgot about the issue they called them about. And all they'll remember is, well, you know, it's election day. I remember that person's name. He must be doing a good job, so we'll just continue to put him back in. Gentlemen, we are going to take a 2-minute break in order to acknowledge some of our sponsors, and we will be back very, very shortly with our special guests, Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, and also the very famous Mark Andel, and also our studio guest, David Younghans. Well, the next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by Dr. Eva Machak. As you know, she has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue in the Port Richmond section. The other is at 4050 Richmond Street in Bridesburg. For more information, you can always call Dr. Eva Machak at area code 215-739-2787. And everyone from the Polish American Travel Service, located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, reminds you that no matter what you're looking for in the way of travel, they are there to assist you. Give Polish American Travel Service a call at 215-634-3396. And Mr. Frank Spula, National President of the Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance organization, joins with the staff and members of the PNA in wishing you a very enjoyable summer. Also, Dominik Rostocki, who has his office located at 1835 Market Street on the 26th floor, reminds you no matter what you're looking for in the way of legal services, he is there to assist you. You can call Dominik Rostocki at 215-575-7624 or check him out on the internet at rostocki.com. And when you're out shopping, and many of us are out shopping these days for lots of goodies, make sure you pick up Giorgio. They have great mozzarella sticks and those mushrooms and so much more. Giorgio, a symbol of quality since 1928. And if you're coming to historic Philadelphia, or maybe you're going to New York City, or you're going to Atlantic City, or to the South Jersey Shore, we have a tremendous internet site that gives you all the information. You can visit tristatevisitors.com and click on any of the links, and you'll certainly be where you're looking to be for your travel vacation. Also, Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dental, they're located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, and they provide you with quality dental services at affordable prices. Contact Dr. Zinn at area code 215-671-0188. And may I say that we had a very successful August edition of National Small Business Weekend, and believe me, more and more people are coming around to the idea that we have to support one another. The ideas of the American Workers Need You effort is certainly helping to get people getting their dollar circulating in America's stores. And if there is no item that reflects American workmanship, maybe you should shop around. I'm not telling you not to buy it at the time, but shop around, because this has really got to turn around. Also, as I've been talking with people, they told me that there is some improvement on school supplies this year. Most of the companies are promoting the fact that they are made in America, even with little American flags. So pull them off the shelf more quickly than you would others, so that we keep our people in work and keep them, their job skills, up to par. Well, I'm back here with Mark Andel. I'm going to ask him, Mark, what else have you learned during your days on the tour that could help our listeners know that we're doing the right thing, and what more can we do in the future to make our goal even more successful?
Yeah, the big thing is to get educated. You know, we're raising awareness and really look, flip over, ask where products are made. I'm glad you just brought up school supplies. You know, it took us 3 years to find school supplies, and we just launched yesterday, you know, from Roaring Springs, which is in Pennsylvania. They've got your notebooks and composition notebooks, and then Sargent Art, 100% made in this country. Very hard to find. So, you know, when you're looking for school supplies, you know, season, when you buy your supplies, it's the second largest retail season compared to the, you know, the fall by Black Friday and whatnot. So a lot of people are spending money. Perfect time to train your kids, educate your kids, because young people, yesterday I had a couple buses come to the store, and boy, am I getting fired up on the buses. And I'm telling them, keep demanding. It's working. But I told them with school supplies, train your, you know, your children that why it matters. You know, why does it matter to buy American? What can I do? What part can I do? You know, ask for it. Bring it up in school. So, Mike, that's what I suggest. Just keep asking, keep demanding, but search. And don't buy the stuff you don't need. Keep buying American products, and you will, you know, fix this economy. It all works together, but it is a part that needs to be done.
And I noticed as I went out the other day, they had a sale, and I went to the store to see exactly what they were selling. And I'm sad to say that there was not one American-made item in any sort of bedwear. We send some stuff down to the shore for the house, you know, for the summer season. But then there was nothing. It was all India, China, and Indonesia, and every other place but America. And that really concerned me, because at one time, 100% of the bedwear, the pillows, the Dow pillows, all of those were made here in the USA. What happened? But mainly, why did it happen? I mean, every one of these 535 representatives that are on the Why Work committee now, they should have saw 30 years ago that their people are losing jobs. How can anybody with, you know, a brain in their head drive past all these stores, all these manufacturing places, all these buildings that are empty with for sale signs available for rent? How can they pass by and say, I should just go out and buy anything that I can come across? No, you have to circulate your dollars here in the USA. Otherwise, what's going to be our destiny? And I'm doing this because in the field of social services, I work with generations of people, people who have worked. And by the way, people 40 years ago were able to have a job that lasts them for 40 years. Today, people are in a job, then the job is sold, it's merged, it's whatever, and they're starting another career. This can't continue. We have to add stability.
You and have to, you know, you have to care. And you can't just buy for the experience. You have to care and make a good choice. A lot of the people in Washington never worked for a living. There's part of your problem. You know, you have to realize what it takes to make a dollar. And I always said support the country you live in, Mike, and that's what we're doing. But we're up to 400 vendors as of last week, Monday, in our store. So we went from 350 to 400 now that we support. Them are 400 American manufacturers that manufacture in this country. And, you know, I'm proud of that. When I write the checks to them all, I feel, you know, I sleep good at night because we're helping them. And all people should feel a little involved and just get involved a little bit. It feels good.
And Mark, by the way, have you found many school supplies in your area made in America?
No, if you go to our local office, Max, I actually did it. About 95% of the office supplies, school supplies, are made overseas.
Yeah.
95%.
Yeah, Mark, you went over there.
That's being nice.
They don't even want me in that store. As soon as I enter, that guard, like, oh, because many times I go in for a specific product. And the next thing you know, I have to walk out because there's nothing there. And as I'm walking out, I make sure everybody knows the whole deal. The whole schmear. My daughter, Eva, she's embarrassed. She's like, oh, God, I'm not going anymore because you're attacking everybody. You have to let it be known. I say, no, if we don't, we're not going to do it. And I showed them your being on the Yahoo link, on the Yahoo TV. I showed them your being on the Fox and Friends. This is how it's going to be. If we can get that movie in Philadelphia, I will get all of our young people out. And if I don't know what the bottom line is going to be, how long it's going to be before we would be able to get CDs and distribute it. But yeah, that's what I would like to do.
I talked to the crew, and definitely they're pushing to Philadelphia because of you and me. You know, that's going to come soon. But I want to bring up one thing. A Wall Street Journal article yesterday, Dorothy in the office, you know, brought to my attention. The oil boom helps to shrink U.S. trade deficit. The trade gap fell more than 22%, but in the paragraph it says Americans bought far fewer foreign-made cell phones and other consumer goods. This is improving the trade situation. So that's a huge for Wall Street to print that. Very nice.
Well, they're getting more into the act because, as I said many times, you could have 1,000 items on a store shelf. And if you get customers in there focusing on what's made in America, the rest of the stuff is going to sit there. And that's the main problem. Last November, I was in, and I'll tell you the story, and I don't care. They'll hang me anyways. Macy's. I talked to Macy's because they had so much inventory, so many sales at the end of the season. And the person said, the people are not buying like they used to. And I said, well, take a look at the tags on the store, on your store items. I said, everything is foreign made yet. I said, when you have American made, you'll find people going out of their way to look and buy those products. Right now, you can pack them up and send them to some third world country, or maybe send them back where they were made, and they'll appreciate them to get them at the same price that they were manufactured for.
And here's one of the problems. I don't think we've discussed. Rich brings it up every once in a while. The Made in America initiative doesn't affect anybody in the business world, whether it's a large corporation, a medium-sized company, until you get down to the employee who has been thrown out of work because the work is on foreign soil. But all of the senior staff and the salespeople and the engineers and excuse me, everybody else in that corp, they're not affected. Their pay isn't affected whether it's built in New York City or if it's built in Taiwan. It makes no difference to them. So that's going to be the hardest part about getting this initiative completely turned around.
Yes, and it's, you know what's happening is, I may have said this before, but when, say, 5 years ago, when containers came to America, many of them were opened and then distributed by our employees here on the docks and in the train yards and in the car barns for the trucks. Today, everything is so designated overseas already that that container comes predetermined for a particular Macy's store at a particular site, and the container is not the seal is not broken until it reaches that store, which means many of our workers in the USA that had jobs 8-10 years ago are now out of a job. We also have to stop that type of stuff. By keeping more of our manufacturing here in the USA, those types of people that would be delivering through truck to smaller corporations, smaller businesses, will be back to work as well. As I said many times, and I've been saying it for 15 years, and I went from being a wild man to somebody that maybe has a half-decent idea. When we reach the 50-50 balance between foreign and American-made in every store in the USA, every American is going to take note of the positive reflection that's going to do. Because without jobs, we can't move our economy and our people forward. And that's why we beg people during this broadcast on my Saturday show and throughout all of our newspapers, beg people to go to stores, speak up. Don't be afraid to speak up, and don't be afraid to call your national elected official, because they don't want to hear from you. Believe me, they don't want to hear from you. When I call, they have 1,000 reasons where they are on, they're on some kind of a trip. They are having a conference. They're caucusing. Every bull that's possible is laid in the line to stop you from ever getting any kind of an answer from that particular elected official. Larkin went to a luncheon. I would have been pleased to hear that the two congressmen or the two council people would have had their names listed on the broadcast today. But instead, you don't want to mention them because you're disappointed that they didn't show up. And hopefully at some point in the future, they will show up.
And they're on that magnificent thing that the Congress is about to go on to, recess. And to me, in my past life, recess was the amount of time it took me to get from my school desk to the little boys' room and back without talking to Jim Sierra and, getting whacked with a ruler by Sister Teresa. So I don't understand when they talk about city council going on recess, they're like, out for 7 weeks.
Yeah, they just forget about all the people that are the lack of concern. Mark, did any elected officials come out to welcome the bus and to come out and talk to you and say this is a great movement?
The only, you know, the people we've seen in New York City, we've seen none. Washington, you know, again, I met Chris Collins, who was a businessman and who is a businessman in Buffalo. It was nice to talk to him, and he actually did work for a living, and it made good sense. But at our movie event, a lot of them, did, you know, were coming but denied. But Senator King out of Maine, who I did respect, and he's very concerned with the next trade deal, because it may be free trade. It's not fair trade. We all want fair trade. So only one. But, you know, they did have a few along the way. But, you know, it's tough. When you see this movie, you'll see it fits perfect into what we're doing, and it's a subtle approach. But it gives people an idea where we were, how great we were after World War II, and then where we are, how Detroit, and the day they showed it in Detroit, remember, happened to be the day that Detroit filed bankruptcy. But then it shows how innovative, you know, how Americans are great, and that we can make change by doing things like we're doing today.
You know, what's really scary, Mark, is that we've watched America's leaders do so little to help the American people, who are the taxpayers who pay their bills. They did so little to help our private sector businesses create jobs with business incentives. We're suffering and still nothing. So I asked you, I'm wondering if somebody came out and met the bus and said, possibly I could be the elected official that would introduce a jobs bill in Washington. But there's nobody. They're not interested.
Great. You know, I just remembered over the weekend, I've got a chance to talk to this farmer in a town close to Chautauqua Lake area. And it was a young guy, and he was pulling that horse-drawn carriage that they give people's rides on. And I asked him, what else do you do? And he said, well, we farm and this and that. I said, how's business? He said, well, I got a full-time job because I can't just run my farm and support it. And he said, we actually went back to using horses. I said, geez, are you Amish or Mennonite? He said, no. He said, I use less fuel with my horses than I do with our two tractors, so we're going back to using horses. I said, really? I said, in this day and age, he said, the only thing hurting me is New York. They just don't help a small businessman. So I'm laughing. Here's a guy, you know, going back to using horses because of the fuel prices and the way that New York, it's so tough on small business.
Well,
that's a shame.
Mark, I have to tell you that we have received some nice responses as a result of the link that we had on the front page, and people were very impressed with your sincerity. I have to make sure that that's noted during our broadcast, because anybody can go up there and do a little bit of show. But you're doing it with a sincere heart, and that makes it all the more important. And that's why what we're doing through our American Workers Radio and American Workers Need You and Rich and Larkin and yourself and the many people that we keep in contact with throughout the year, we really have kept this ball going. As you know, Mark, some people probably had bets on you, too, how long the movement would with your store would be able to be kept alive. Well, for 15 years, they've been hoping that I'll go away, too. But each year, I grew a little bit more. And with all of us working together, it's even getting a lot better. Things are going to happen. Rich, tell us more about why work. I like that idea. Why work when you can just sit around and collect?
Well, Larkin, to your point earlier about creating that acid test, let's do it when I'm up there next week. And of course, as prominent as anything else in that test is, will be questions about our economy. Economic matters are as important an issue as anything else in our country, at the expense of other Mickey Mouse religious and social issues, though, a lot of times those issues take up our attention, especially on the media time. So I'm very happy and willing to do that with you. As far as why work, Michael, you know, when I say rising costs, if you actually look at our income tax, our federal income tax, it is historically speaking low. Historically speaking, it's everything else that's eating up salaries, right? From your child care to your transportation, in some states, your health care. So if you're working to pay the bills, or you don't have to work and you're still netting the same or about the same, why work, right? Why do it? And I say that facetiously, but unfortunately, the math actually partly supports what I say in many places nationally. So what's the ultimate solution, right? What is the balance that has to be struck with our elected officials and international commerce? And here's something that we do know. We do know that despite the fact that us being still the number one economy, really by a long shot, China would have to experience growth even more mind-boggling than what they've had in the last few decades just to catch up with us. So I guess the silver lining in all this is we know that there are many companies overseas that are American-based, that are at least partly over there manufacturing, making things, employing people. So we know that they're there. When you asked before, Michael, why did this happen, we all know, really. I mean, let's be honest. We all know why it happened. It happened because of a number of factors: lower labor, fewer regulations, lower taxation. So now the challenge, if they want to go on recess and have playtime, Larkin, then the question is, what are you doing with your time when you're actually here? And as I've stated before, I don't doubt that at least some members of Congress do devote some time during their months and their weeks, months, and years on this issue. But what else are we doing, right? What else are they doing in their time? For every dollar, for every moment of time invested elsewhere, is a moment of time and a dollar not invested here in the best interest of America. And I don't think the voters really ask that question enough.
You're right. And you know what, Rich?
There
is a portion of that which is really concerning, and that is Mark was in Washington. Now, if it was a sensible situation with our 535 elected officials, he would be able to meet with a particular group from Congress and a particular group from the Senate, representing employment in America. But I'm sad to say that of those 535 people, I don't know, and I can't find out who's in charge of helping that sector of America be restored. I don't know of anybody. Everybody that I ask, they say, well, you know, that's the top leadership is working on it. Who are they? Who is it? Boehner and the Senator Reid and all. Who is it? It's a game.
They're too busy trying to figure out how to shut down government.
And they want to find out how they could become more and more involved with Rich's committee. Why work?
Yeah. Well,
and yet keep all those benefits.
Only a 1 cent membership fee. So, it's the first 550 members were all of Congress. And Michael, you know what, though? Here's your comment underlies that's the rub right there. See, that's ultimately you're exposing and highlighting the problem, which is who's doing it? Who does what? The reality is all of Congress should be doing something
right
that relates to jobs, that
right
relates to the economy. I understand congressmen and women, they have different roles and committees and they have different responsibilities. Understood. But all of them should have some involvement. And again, are we seeing elected officials talking to companies overseas and saying, hey, you were here for many years, you're still actually an American company, despite the fact that you have jobs and manufacturing overseas, what is it going to take for us to get you here? Sell it, right? Sell it. You got to, like, you know, Lenin said in the 70s, you sell peace like soap, everyone will buy it. You got to sell it. Here's why to come back to America. Aside from the financial aspect, potentially, of it, you have now a growing national sentiment that made in America is damn good business.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm just searching here on the webpage, and I found there is a Congressional House subcommittee or a committee on small business. And their initiatives are agriculture, energy, and trade. That doesn't help jobs. Health and technology, economic growth, tax, and capital access. That might be a good subcommittee. Investigations, oversights, and regulations. What they need to do is just make them all go away,
mm-hmm,
and not have a committee, and contracting and workforce. So
is there a head of that committee?
Yes, there is. His name is Sam Graves.
Hmm. Not somebody I have heard a lot about. I heard the name, but not a lot about. Have you heard about him, Mark?
No, I haven't. I'd like to look that up. What site was that on, Larkin?
I just typed in, you know, Congressional Subcommittee or Congressional Committee on Small Business, and that's what I came up with. Hmm. Sam Graves is...
We'll have to give him a call.
You know,
his whole life has been dedicated to the spirit of entrepreneurship.
He's only in there for how many years?
Well, if it's Congress, he's in there for 2 years.
I know. When did he start? 74? Oh.
From Missouri.
From Missouri, yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, once somebody gets in the position and it's too long, they just, you know, think they have nothing better to do just to satisfy themselves. You really have to go out and do something for the people. That's why I agree with term limits. I've been pushing this thing with getting all the governors together to let's see what they're going to have to do. And also, we won 50 candidates for president, one from every state. If we had that, can you imagine if we had 50 Barack Obamas or 50 Mitt Romneys from different representing different states? We would really be able to weed out what is going to represent us properly and what has no desire to represent us. The two-party system, I agree with Rich, is really starting to get old, and we need to restore some level of community involvement in the whole system of electing a people. Like Larkin said, 10 to 15% of the voters coming out for the primary is disgraceful. It's really disgraceful. And many people listening probably say to themselves, well, on that day I was busy, I had to go here or there. It's time for us to start making time. If we house clean the House and Senate, we may be able to get better results.
And your friend Steve King, Mark, is on this subcommittee. As a part of this committee, yes, he is.
Yeah, I just happened to meet him, but a nice guy. He gets it. I mean, I was real surprised his sincerity.
His quote here on his page is, Stephen King knows that we must unleash the entrepreneurial spirit of the American people to encourage sustainable growth and get our economy back on track. We need to interview this guy on our show.
You'd
know what?
Flew in to see the movie. I mean, to Washington that night. So,
you know what? Let me ask you this, Mark. Since he did come to see the movie, maybe you can make a contact with him to ask him who are the people to be contacted to get some sort of a national job summit between the elected officials going. I mean, something has to turn around sooner or later. They have to tell us. The secret has to get out. We have to let the genie out of the bottle. Larkin has something he would like to add.
We've had a friend here in the studio, a friend of mine, Dave Younghands, and I just wanted to give a cheap promotion. Dave is the retail director for Constant Contact, and that little outfit happens to be one of small business's best friends.
Very good, and I do use Constant Contact. So, David, I appreciate all of your goodness. In fact, Henry will appreciate meeting you as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Rich, Mark, Larkin, to all of our listeners, thank you for spreading the word. Thank you for going into the stores and annoying the owners and the personnel and ask questions, because without us sticking to where we are going in the future, we're not going to be going anywhere. Well, ladies and gentlemen, dziękuję. Until Saturday, I will see you here at 11 for our Saturday Variety Program. Tune in tomorrow at 11 for Barbara Ilnitska, and I will look forward to seeing you next Saturday, as well as next Wednesday at 11 here on 860. Dovid Zenia, and I'll talk to you real soon. Thank you, Larkin. Thank you, Mark. And thank you, Rich.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.